So, official welcome to Corps Volunteer Training. Corps Volunteer Training is a weekly webinar program of the Citizens Climate Lobby, and our goal is to provide CCL supporters like yourselves, especially new and newer supporters and our fantastic emerging group leaders, easy access to training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I get to be your host this evening and for many evenings. My name is Tamara Staton, and I am so glad to have you all here with us, especially welcome to those of you who are newer to the space. Tonight's training, as I mentioned, is lobbying basics, planning and practicing your meeting. Michael Jeffries and I, both regional coordinators of sorts, will be doing our best to demystify the idea of lobbying and help you get a better sense of what the process entails. I know I was really intimidated when I first joined CCL, like, oh my gosh, being in a lobby meeting? What? And so we are excited to do our best to inspire lobbying action on your part. So I have the pleasure of introducing Michael Jeffries, and he is a regional coordinator. Next slide. Thank you, Isabella. He is a regional coordinator for CCL. Actually, officially, the Regional Conservative Outreach Coordinator, where he primarily works on recruiting, training, and organizing right of center volunteers in order to make CCL's volunteer base more reflective of the constituency in right of center districts. Inspired by his faith to address climate and energy issues, Michael has either volunteered for or worked professionally on environmental issues for 5 years. When he isn't working, he enjoys reading good books, hiking and playing frisbee golf, and spending time with his family and his sweet little babes. I have to say, they're very cute.
They're very cute. Well, Tamara Staton is a regional coordinator, and she's specifically focused on supporting the chapters and volunteers across the greater Pacific Northwest, which includes Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Alaska, Hawaii, and three Pacific Island territories. She's been with CCL since 2012 when she co-founded her local Citizens Climate Lobby chapter in Portland, Oregon. She also serves as CCL's Education and Resilience Coordinator. Feels passionate about supporting and serving volunteers in all three positions with an organization that she feels so closely aligns with her values. In her downtime, you might, or hopefully you will not be able to find her because she will be off the grid with her family doing her best to enjoy lakes, rivers, mountains, and red rock country as often as she can.
Thanks, Michael. I can't wait to get out to that some Red Rock country soon. But in the meantime, let me talk about our goals this evening. Tonight, we aim to, I just took this slide from you, Michael, so I'm just going to keep going with it. We aim to clarify
All
the
good.
planning process behind our meeting preparations with members of Congress and their staff. We want to demystify lobbying through the demonstration of a respect-based relational meeting and help prepare you for your own meetings and instill greater confidence around accessing support, tools, and resources. You want to take this one, Michael?
Yeah, well, so our agenda tonight is that we are going to be focused on letting our values guide us. We're going to take an overview of the planning process for a meeting. Then we're going to look at a sample meeting plan for a Democratic meeting. Then we're going to witness a video of a lobby meeting in action for a Republican member of Congress. And then we're going to go over some key takeaways from this video and the lessons that we've learned. Then we'll have a little bit of time for Q&A and discussion. But before we get started, I just want to ask you guys a quick question. Would love to see you guys put your answers in the chat. So, is there anything that feels intimidating about lobbying to you? And if there is, let us know. And even another exciting question is there anything about lobbying that feels exciting to you? And we want to know kind of what some of those things might be. So, let us know in the chat.
So, some answers
Speaking
to
of
come in.
strangers.
Speaking to strangers,
Always intimidating.
yeah, totally can be, yes. Not knowing the answers to all the questions. That was what I was going to add, actually, Mathina, is being asked a question and being put on the spot and feeling like I'm supposed to know something. Being made fun of by ignorant strangers. Ooh, that's, I love how specific you guys are getting. I love this. Handling disagreements. Lobbying to a congressperson or senator who has conflicting political ideology, I feel like it may be more difficult to talk to them. Yeah, great. Not knowing enough information about what you're discussing, totally legitimate concern, or understandable concern, I should say. Not knowing enough, lack of credibility. Excellent, excellent questions, you guys.
Yeah.
Excellent responses, I should say. Yeah. And we have one more question. Michael, do you want to ask this one?
Yeah, is there anything about lobbying that feels exciting to you guys?
For me, I love the excitement around being able to have like feeling that my voice makes a difference. That feels really exciting to me. Anything for you in particular, Michael, while we're waiting for these answers to come in?
Honestly, I love reading up on the bills and the policy that I'm going to be advocating for.
Wow.
That's the best part for me.
That you and I are very different in that regard. I do not like that part. So getting
Yeah, I mean, for that knowledge piece, I love walking into my meeting with like a ton of knowledge to give to the staff member. It's a very exciting thing. But we'll talk about how you don't need to be too worried about that. You don't need to be like me, doing tons of extra research.
That's true. All right. So you guys have shared that you're excited about getting co-sponsors, making change, knowing it was done by my actions, carbon pricing initiatives, going outside of my comfort zone and learning through doing and sharing knowledge with others. Awesome. Thanks. Thanks for taking the minute to share that all, y'all. And yeah, the more that you're up for reflecting on this content, I will have to say, as an experiential educator, the more this content's going to stick with you. So thanks for taking the time to do that if that works out for you tonight. So Michael, I would love to hear a brief story from what was it like for you when you first lobbied?
Yeah, well, I came in, I had a lot of the similar kinds of fears and felt the same kind of intimidations that a lot of people had. So I was really nervous when I first lobbied. My background is actually I was working in Republican campaigns. I was going to be going to lobby my new senator. This was a guy that I had respected quite a bit, and but I was going to go and talk to him about climate issues. And I thought that, I'm going to be going to talk to this conservative Republican. I'm just going to get totally blown off and ignored by him. But I actually was shocked. I had a really great meeting with him, and I learned that he cared about these issues too, like me. And I really felt like he was listening to the things that we had to say. So it was a really great first experience, and kind of in place of those nerves that I went into that meeting with, I really walked away feeling like I had the ability to go out and make a difference.
Awesome. Thanks for
But
sharing
what
that.
about you, Tamara? How would
Wow.
you feel when you did this?
I was
Our first one.
also really nervous. I was super new to politics, super new to CCL, and super new to all things CCL, actually, the politics and economics and all the things. So I was super nervous, and I was really afraid specifically of what I was supposed to know but didn't, and was supposed to say but couldn't. And as it turned out, none of my fears materialized. And I came away feeling super empowered, actually. And what impressed me the most about that very first meeting was how solidly we worked as a team. It was actually a meeting with a Republican office in Kansas, I think. And the meeting lead, who's from Canada, she did a fantastic job of guiding the flow, and everyone played their part that we had agreed upon. And in successive meetings over the years, I came to realize that we each bring various strengths to the meetings. And that's part of what makes our lobbying efforts at CCL so impactful as constituents with various perspectives. So I think you're going to talk about our values now, Michael, huh?
Absolutely, because this is a CCL core volunteer training, so it does see, truly seem right that we would start by reviewing our core values. So whenever I know I'm going in, I'm planning a congressional meeting with a member of Congress, having trouble figuring out the right approach to take, I always turn back to our core values. They are focus, integrity, optimism, diversity, personal power, relationships, and being nonpartisan. Those always help to guide me. Now let's get started with demystifying the lobbying process.
And I will quick little invite from those values. I'm going to drop these in the chat. Is there any value or a couple values that for you really stands out and is the thing that you're like, oh my gosh, this is part of the reason that I joined CCL because these values really align with mine, or I really appreciate that those are values. So feel free to drop those in the chat if you would like to. And while you guys are doing that, we are going to transition to talking about what an actual meeting looks like and sounds like, and take a look at some of the meeting preparations. So what I'm seeing real quick in the chat here is that diversity is valued, relationships, and being nonpartisan. So thanks for sharing those and re taking a minute to reflect on your connection to CCL as well. Okay, so a CCL liaison or designated lead who is the main point of contact with the congressional office, they are going to generally start with getting the appointment set and planning for the meeting about 6 weeks or so in advance. And this person needs to know generally where the meeting is headed in advance, like taking a road trip. It's a good idea to have the trip penciled out. Well, maybe you're not going to actually pencil it out on a real map, but some of us like to use real maps still. But you want to leave a little bit of room for changes in your plan. But just have a general sense of like, okay, we're going to Moab, and where are we going to go along the way? I'm going to stop and see my friends in Salt Lake or whatever. So the liaison and lobby team members agree on the meeting goal or strategy to move the member forward on climate using common ground, building common ground, and respect as a foundation to develop the long-term relationship. And the process involves first, number one, the liaison sends a meeting request about a month out from the requested meeting date. Number two, the planning meeting happens. You actually come together to plan the meeting with the help of a template that we have. And then third, you want to rehearse and review the plan with your team. And then you have your meeting. Bammo. Okay, so then let me get caught up here. Let's dive into actually what a meeting plan or agenda looks like. And so, like I was saying, the meeting template acts as a general roadmap. And so we've created a mock meeting plan and a mock, what we call an ask, that we're going to ask the member of Congress to support. And then we're going to show you a video of a mock meeting that resembles what a lobby meeting looks like. I know it's really, really pretty accurate, actually. There's a lot that's very accurate about this video. So we're going to go over the plan in the next three slides, and then we'll have a link for you in the chat of what the blank meeting template looks like if you want to refer to that. So here is the blank meeting template that I will drop in. Oh, Michael, on it. So in our sample meetings, thank you, Michael, rocking it over there in your tie. In our sample meetings, we use supporting asks. And for those who are not familiar with the difference between that and a primary ask, our primary asks are major advances in our four policy areas: carbon pricing, healthy forests, building electrification and efficiency, and clean energy permitting reform. Those are our primary asks. And we can get more specific about those, but in general, that's what we're looking for first. But some members of Congress are just not ready to move on those pieces yet. And so, to help build our relationship, we will include bipartisan supporting asks that align with our overall goals that are smaller steps and easier for them to say yes to. It's all you,
All
Mike.
right, so we're going to take a look at our sample Democratic meeting plan here. And this is going to be where you can see some of the meeting preparations. So, in the black type, as you can see on the plan here, that is the meeting template outline. And the blue type is the part that the liaison or the team lead, along with the rest of your team, is going to work out. So, this isn't a precise science. You don't need to stress out on all the details. Really, the point of this is, as Tamara said, is to provide a roadmap so everyone has a sense of where the meeting will go. So, setting things up will look a little bit different depending on if our meeting is virtual or in person. So, during our virtual lobby events, like we do in the fall, the liaison or group leader creates a lobby team and schedules a Zoom rehearsal meeting. Now, during our in-person lobby events, which we have each summer, the liaison or group leader works on creating a meeting plan the lobby team will use for their meeting. So the preparation for in-person lobby days tend to happen primarily when all the lobby team members are in DC. Now, regardless of if it's a in-person meeting or a virtual one, the first step you have is to assign roles for the lobby meeting, and that usually happens during your rehearsal meeting. So after you get those roles assigned, we come to the first question on our template. What are the overall strategies and goals for this meeting, and how can we build a supportive relationship? So to do this, first you need to kind of think about and determine your ask and your supporting ask. This should be something that you think your MOC, your member of Congress, should be able to say yes to. So in the case for this template here, we have a supporting ask that we have a mock bill for it. We call it the Charge Our Right Act, or CORA, because if you've worked with Congress, they always like to use acronyms for their bills. So the mock bill seems to provide tax credits for apartment and commercial property owners to actually install electric car charging stations. However, they still have the overall goal of having bipartisan support and demonstrating bipartisan support for a carbon price. So they still have that primary ask in there. So then this will lead you to number two on the plan. So we like to start out our meetings with a sincere appreciation of something the member has done, and this is done by the appreciator. It's often easiest when looking for your appreciation to find something that relates to CCL's kind of policy priorities, but I do know that can be kind of difficult sometimes. So you're just going to want to look for something that you genuinely appreciate. So in this case, in this template, they mentioned local water quality improvements. All right, so kind of moving on to number three, you want to clarify what your ask is. And, kind of talking to some of the fears about not having enough knowledge, you don't need to be policy experts on the bill that you're discussing. CCL creates these awesome one-page summaries of the bills, so you can learn easily what a bill is about and give to the office for more information. So, you don't have to worry if you get a question that you or someone on your team can't answer. All you have to do is say something like, "I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll look it up and get back to you." They know that you're often volunteers and not policy experts. This is not going to make you look bad. This also really gives you a great chance for a substantive follow-up with the office as you're seeking to answer those questions when you're getting back to them. So then you move on to number four, and that's identify the main topics that we're going to talk about. So they plan to learn more about the members' current priorities and aim to explain the central bill, ask for their support, and then discuss whatever questions that member has. So another thing that I like to suggest is to plan ahead and ask that everyone stays open to kind of a subtle redirection if a problem occurs or people get off track from the meeting plan. If teams rehearse how to do this, it's a lot easier for each of us to accept in the middle of the meeting. It does happen. And you can do a simple redirection by saying something like, "Hey, we have limited time here, so we need to move on to our other topics," or something else that kind of feels natural. So then we're going to move on to number five on our template here. So we wait for it to load up. So we want to look at our open-ended questions. So in other words, we want to make sure that we have questions that are not going to be yes or no questions, but questions that will get the member talking, and we can start learning about, kind of what they're really thinking about and what their priorities really are. We like to do this by practicing reflective listening and really taking our time to make sure that we understand everything that the member or staffer is saying. So you can do this by saying something like, when you hear a question that you want to get a little bit more clarification about, you can say, "What I heard you say is this," and repeat back to them how you understood what they said. Or you can say, "Can I clarify that this is what you mean?" And then give kind of your interpretation. This is a really helpful practice that makes the member, a staff member, feel acknowledged and clarifies to us what they're thinking and gives them that opportunity. And then lastly, the most really important part is that you don't want to forget to follow up. A follow-up, and that's one of those roles, is the follow-up is the person who will deliver a thank you note, or who will reach out to the office in a few weeks to see if the member was able to sign on to the bill, and who will submit the meeting minutes notes. So what we're going to do now is demonstrate the process, that we have for planning a mock meeting with a Republican. And then we're gonna actually see this meeting itself. So actually, we're not really gonna demonstrate the process. We're mostly just gonna kind of hop into the meeting. But so in the meeting plan that this team put together, we have a different bill that we're going to talk about than the Charge Our Ride Act about electric vehicles. So this team, this lobby team, was looking at the list of CCL supporting asks, and they felt that this moderately conservative Republican could say yes to the bill that we are calling the IBEA, or the Innovation and Business Electrification Act. And also, we wanted to get his feedback on clean energy permitting reform. So again, you don't need to be a policy expert on these issues. We should always feel comfortable saying, we don't have the answer to a technical question, but we'll get back to you. And as I mentioned, CCL will give you one-pagers on the bills and additional trainings. So in this case, our mock bill, the IBEA, encourages building electrification with expanded tax credits for battery storage for wind and solar power. The bill provides that 1 year after bill passage, the batteries need to be made in the USA from materials or minerals that are sourced here in the US. So here we're going to see our lobby meeting video.
Thank you all so much for you waiting here with a vote on the floor. It's an honor to meet all of you. Yes, thank you. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So what do I owe the pleasure to?
Yeah, well, first we just want to start off and be respectful of your time. How much time are you looking at today to meet with us?
Boy, I think I can probably give you 10 minutes at best.
Okay, that works great.
Okay.
Make note of that.
Well, then, yeah, in consideration of your time, Congressman O'Connor.
O'Connor, for taking the time and being able to meet with us. We'll make these introductions brief,
okay,
then, considering that. I'm Lee, and I'm from Big City, USA.
Excellent.
My name's Anne, and I'm from Smallville, USA.
Pleasure to meet.
I'm Nate, I'm from Medium Town.
Excellent. It's an honor to meet Medium Town residents. That's a good place.
Yeah, it's a wonderful
yeah.
place.
Mike O'Connor, I'm representing the district here for 10 years. I'm honored to meet my constituents every time. It's a real privilege to serve you here in Congress.
And then we just really want to start off this meeting by thanking you for your work pushing through the appropriations bill fund for the rebuilding of the Red River Bridge. We really appreciate that work, and we know that it was probably a really difficult process.
Well, thank you for that. The Red River Recreation Area is close to my heart. I'm guessing all of you love using the multi-use trails.
Obviously, I really appreciate the chance to expand recreational opportunities throughout the whole district.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't be in more agreement with that. Today, I know we have two agenda items, so being brief, I'd like to get to those. As you know, CCL works for a sustainable climate, and we support a variety of climate solutions that have bipartisan support. Regarding that, maybe we share our primary ask in getting support for clean energy permitting reform.
And beyond that, our supporting ask is the Innovation and Business Electrification Act, the IBEA.
Great. Obviously, first, thanks for asking a little bit more about my vision as to what's possible in this Congress. I think we have the opportunity to advance a variety of fronts right now, building out our energy dominance for the U.S., including advanced carbon capture. Battery storage, those are where my priorities are. You know that I'm on the Small Business Committee and I have the concerns about the volatile price of energy. One of my priorities in helping small businesses is making sure that they can get back on their feet, especially after this roller coaster of the last couple of years. I want to make sure that they have minimal barriers and red tape to have to cut through to get back up to speed. So I'm curious, both in this discussion of permitting reform as well as the Innovation in Business Electrification Act, is that right?
Yes, so tell me more. Small businesses need help. So this bill, the IBEA, Innovation in Business Electrification Act, encourages business electrification with expanded tax credits for battery storage for wind and solar power.
Yeah. And as a small business owner, I agree the price of energy is really too volatile. May I share why I support this bill?
Of course, that's why we're here.
So as I mentioned, I am a small business owner and I am trying to install solar on my roof to electrify my business, which is a beverage distribution warehouse. And I'm trying to install solar for my roof so I can electrify my business. The IBEA would allow me to do that and then purchase batteries to run my operations.
Sorry, everybody. Let me just make sure that it looks like there might have been some video challenges, and I recognize that the bottom of my screen just was occluding some of the words. So let me hit play again, and hopefully this will be better for you. Sorry about that.
When the sun is not shining. So the return on investments would allow me to shave 25% of my energy bill within 5 years. And right, by being able to do that, I would be able to hire an extra shift of 20 people on top of that. So
that sounds like a real job creator.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So these are really good paying jobs that Smallville residents will ultimately gobble up. And I think because of that, I'd like to ask for your support of this bill.
And you said it was the, make sure I get my notes right, the Innovation and Business Electrification Act.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'll take notes on that.
In addition to that, I would love to ask for your support of the bill HR 555.
Okay, tell me more. What is it?
Ann, actually, can we just try to stick to our two topics since the congressman has limited time today?
Okay.
Thank you for sharing how your business will benefit from the IBA.
Well, interesting benefits to the bill. And again, if it's got bipartisan support, I'm very interested in exploring it more. If you could pass on the details, I'd be very interested.
Yeah, we will. And I just want to cut in for a second. We only have a couple minutes left, so we want to be respectful of your time.
Well, yeah, on that note, I probably should be heading out then.
Yeah, before we end, may we ask which community leaders you listen to or hear from in the district?
Well, I love listening to all of the leaders throughout the actual district, but I'd have to say the ones, especially within the business electrification angle, I work closely with Joe Sanders. I'd be curious to hear what his thoughts are on this bill, especially with his work that we've discussed, kind of grid reform and battery storage in the past. So we have common interests on that. I'd be curious his take with.
Well, thank you for your time today. I have to run for another floor vote, but if you could follow up with Cynthia, it'd be great to make sure that the bill details get sent and we can look into who's co-sponsoring and how it actually impacts our district. Again, it's a real honor. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, well, let's take a few moments to just discuss and actually share in the chat if you are so inclined. What stood out to you about that meeting? Was there anything that surprised you or impressed you? Did anybody see particular aspects of the meeting that you had recognized on the meeting template that we had discussed? So anything in regards to observations, and Dan, that is a great question. We will see if we can get to that during our discussion in regards to the partisanship. But yes, good observation. Everyone was very respectful. I've actually never been in a lobby meeting where everyone isn't being respectful, actually. And I've been lobbying for 10 years. Everyone respectful of each other's time and priorities, well-scripted and actual to time constraints. And that is true for real meetings as well. So these actors were looking at their notes probably more than most volunteers do in a lobby meeting. So that was different. And I think there was some dressing down, some t-shirts. We don't wear t-shirts in our lobby meetings in CCO. But other than that, there was a lot that's really true to form. So a small town leader has a lot of specific numbers of how her request will enable ready results. Yes, it is really helpful to bring small amounts of data to support the point that you want to make. Specific and organized, agreed. It's easy to get off topic, and I can see how having a topic as specific as possible is important. Yes, definitely. There was a redirect. Good noticing, Dan. They spoke fast but remained civil. True. And I would also say that part of the speaking fast is us wanting to make sure that we have a very short video for you. This is a 5-minute meeting. I've never been in a 5-minute meeting with a member of Congress. They are always at least 15 minutes, 10, 15, if they actually have time to sit down. And with a staffer, it's like 30. So professional and respectful. So no, there is no second video, Isabella, so don't worry about that. Michael, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. Well, I just kind of wanted to point out that, you know, one of the things that you noticed was there was probably about, like, I would say that the people were talking about 60% of the time and the member of Congress was talking about 40% of the time in that video. Typically, during our lobby meetings, we want to flip that. We want to be talking only about 40% of the time we want to be hearing from them about 60% of the time, which is why it's really important to ask lots of open-ended questions, really getting them to talk as much as possible. Because, you know, a lot of this, you know, sometimes you go in and they're like, wow, this is the best bill I've ever seen. I'm in. But like a lot of times, you know, these are information gathering exercises. We need as much information as we can get to help us strategize for future lobby meetings.
Thanks, Michael. Just a little FYI, I'm putting the business cards link into the chat for you. So you can check that out. It's you can just search for business cards also on CCL Community.
How prepared are these? Oh, Eljoy asked, how prepared are these representatives usually regarding climate-related policies? So I will say that I will say that for our senators, I would say that usually you're meeting with an aide who works on energy issues, and they're usually quite kind of up to speed on a lot of energy, or if we're doing healthy forests, sometimes you'll speak to an agricultural aide. But usually they're really up to speed on their topic. Like they are very knowledgeable. I'll say with a lot of House members, you know, they are, you know, they usually the aides only have in-depth knowledge about the topics of the committees they're assigned to. So, you know, a lot of times you'll be talking to an aide and they just, but when you're talking to a member of the House and they just won't have a ton of knowledge unless you're lucky enough to get a House member who is like on like energy and commerce or something like that, then they'll usually know quite a bit more. And, you know, sometimes, you know, this kind of fear that, you know, you're going to get a lot of pushback can be really scary. I know, like, when I did my first lobby meeting, I was talking to a pretty conservative Republican senator. I was afraid I was going to get a lot of pushback from this. And this really does have an impact on you when you go in with this approach to your meeting. You know, you might come in like being very defensive, expecting a lot of pushback. You might even be combative, kind of prepared for some kind of comment that is or, you know, some kind of view about climate change, like climate change being a hoax kind of thing. But in reality, I find that, you know, I've done a lot of different meetings with a lot of different Republicans who kind of run the gamut of the spectrum. And, you know, most of the time, they're actually quite friendly. They're many times they're curious and quite interested in the bill. You know, they might not even be interested about it from a climate perspective, but they might be interested about it from a, you know, making our electric grid more reliable perspective, or the economic benefits that it might bring, or the benefits to the district that it might bring. So when you do get pushback, though, it's usually pretty light, and it's usually in the form of the question. In fact, you even heard a little bit of it, you know, the kind of light pushback that you might even get in this video of the member of Congress, mock member of Congress, saying, you know, I'm really concerned about volatile energy prices. And sometimes this can be kind of a code for, I don't think that renewable energy is very stable. and, you know, but you can kind of capitalize on that. When you hear this concern about volatile energy prices, you can hear, well, you know, if we had a bill like this, I could cut my energy bill by 25%. You know, when you're kind of listening for these kinds of things, you can really be able to speak to their concerns much better. Other times you'll kind of hear that, you know, this really isn't our top priority, creating a balance. You also could hear a little bit of concern about, you know, wanting to make sure that fossil fuels are protected and the fossil fuel industry is protected, wanting to create a balance of our energy mix. So that's some of the pushback that you're going to hear a lot of the times from Republicans. And when you kind of receive this pushback, really what we just need to do is we need to focus on the relationship that we're building with this office, and specifically with this person, because they really are just people. And really kind of explore how we can get their support. So, you know, we can kind of ask questions like, what would it take to change your mind? And when you hear, you know, what would it take to change my mind? And you kind of hear these responses of like, oh, I'd really love to hear from the Chambers of Commerce or something like that. And you can kind of take this as an assignment for your lobby team, to your chapter, to do for the next time you meet with your member of Congress, to get a meeting with the Chambers of Commerce or something. And then you also, well, yeah, want to ask lots of questions to keep listening.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael, and then I'll spend less time on that on the progressive side. Go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
I mean, no, I mean, that was pretty much it. You just, yeah, I want to ask lots of questions about kind of why they believe what they believe. And then and yeah, just doing lots of that kind of reflective listening that we're talking about. So that way we can really build up that respect-based relationship with their office.
Yeah, exactly. So the other, we also wanted to just address briefly the concept of pushback from progressive offices. And so the expectation on many people's parts might be, well, there is not going to be a pushback. All progressives are concerned about climate change. And so we're going to go into these meetings and we're just going to have a love fest and we're going to talk about all the things that are great about all the solutions that we're going to work on together. The reality is that in some offices, it is a love fest and it's fantastic. And I've been in those meetings and it feels so good to talk about making progress and all the things that we're going to collaborate on. And then in other offices, there's a lot of pushback in regards to the system is broken. We can't use the same system to fix it that actually created the problem. We need to be worried about focusing on environmental justice, and your solutions don't do that well enough. We can't give 100% dividend for carbon pricing. We need to make sure that we fund programs and infrastructure. So there is pushback on the progressive side as well. Are the policies that we push for tend to be pretty middle of the road, pretty bipartisan. Some of them lean a little bit right, some of them lean a little bit left. So in that case, again, we want to focus on relationship and explore potential for support, just like Michael was talking about. So a couple things before we wrap up the evening. Remember, it takes teamwork. Lobbying is a fantastic activity that is not on any one person's shoulders, fortunately. We are citizen lobbyists. We are not paid lobbyists who go in there doing our darndest and having to know all the things. So it's also not rocket science. While Michael was talking initially about how he loves to study up on the bills, it's awesome because in almost every team, there is somebody that really enjoys studying up on the bills, or at least somebody who agrees to study up on the bills. Or even in most recent meetings I've been in, we all agree to take one particular aspect so that we're all prepared in a different way. So it definitely obviously takes some planning, like we talked about. We pride ourselves on being planful, and we've heard from offices across the road. All around Capitol Hill, that they are impressed about how prepared citizen CCL members, volunteers, lobbyists are. And when stuck, to just look to our values. What is important to us as citizen lobbyists? We want to build relationships. We want to stay focused. We want to make sure we prioritize diversity and inclusion and so forth. So, with that, we encourage you to log your trainings as well as any other actions that you are taking in support of building political will for a livable world. Super simple way to do that is to click that magical link I just typed into the chat, and that will automatically log your training. You'll see a little bit of stars, and you don't even have to go unconscious. You can also click any of the green buttons in any of our traditional trainings in the future to log your training, or when you are doing a interactive training, we have a log your training section. You can also go through the action tracker to do that, chapter volunteer development, and then just start typing the first four letters of the training. And with that, we are wrapping up right at the top of the hour. Huge kudos to those of you on the East Coast who are doing climate work at 9 o'clock in the evening and 8 o'clock for those of you. Kudos for being here, for sticking it out if you're still on the line. I guess if you are still on, or if you're listening to this as a recording, kudos to you as well, because I know that that can be challenging. The fastest way to get answers to your questions is in the forums, community.citizensclimate.org/forums, or to head over to the Climate Advocacy Certificate Forum as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration.
Like what you hear? Recommend us to your friends and make sure to give us a 5-star rating.
It helps us show up on other listeners' feeds. Feel free to pass on any suggestions for future episodes in the comments as well. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.